side that we would like to pursue next year as well. And any questions? Thanks.
Thank you, Jenny. Chief Morabito.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for having me here tonight and the rest of us. I'm going to make it fairly quick. Any questions you have, feel free to ask. I will do my best to answer them. What we do and who we serve, fire department provides fire suppression, fire inspection, fire prevention education, emergency medical services, technical rescue, hazardous materials response services for the citizens of Auburn and Cayuga County in our region and throughout the state as needed or requested. Our call volume in 2017, our numbers might be off a little bit because we switched from one CAD system and fire reporting system to another. We may have lost a couple in the shuffle or in the mix. Our assistance to other agencies has gone down a little bit. But it still remains 66 or better, and we're on that pace already for this year. Our overall budget has gone up. Most of that is due to contractual obligations. Our overall operating budget has gone down slightly due to increases in retirements and retirement funding. More than anything else has caused our budget to go up to where it is right now. We have we had 72 people on the roster last year. We, through attrition, we had three retirements. We've only replaced two at this point in time. We anticipate one more this year, and hopefully we'll be able to replace that one also. 71 firefighters, one civilian. Anna, who helped me immensely with this budget, as well as Laura Wills. Without them, I'd be somewhat lost, a little bit more lost than what I am right now. Last year was brought up about the vacant housing registry, so I've included a slide on that. As of today, there are 244 properties on the vacant housing registry, and I'm thinking you can mark that down to 243. After this morning's fire. And this is basically the breakdown of how it goes with them. 43 properties are on their fifth year of it, and you can see what they owe. 34 properties, fourth year. So the first year on up, it just keeps increasing. If the owners do not make the payments, they go on their tax bill, and it is collected in that way. Right now is a busy time of the year for us, for vacant housing registry. The letters have gone out, and this is where we start feeling the phone calls. How come it costs us this much, or why is it this much, and so on and so forth. So we have to sit down and explain to them why they're at where they're at and come up with solutions if we can. In most cases, we try to tell them, if you get a permit for the building, start a project, and continue with the project, we're willing to look at what you're paying and either reducing it or doing away with it altogether, depending on what the project is, how much there is to it, and if they continue with it. So any questions?
Chief, the building we had the fire last night in Sheridan, where did they fall in this category? Do you go offhand?
They are in, I believe, their second year, Chief.
Second year.
I believe that's where we're at with them right now. Again, the property was condemned, and I had that in front of me a little bit earlier. I want to say February of 2017, like February 14th, 2017, and then it goes on the vacant registry from there.
Thank you.
Okay. Jenny, you're shaking your head. You're a little more confident in it than I am.
You told me that in an email today. So
correct.
I'm just confirming that's what you said.
Yep.
Chief?
Yes.
Just for the benefit of the public, can you explain why we charge?
I wish I had a real good answer for you. The bottom line is to try and get all of these vacant properties to put back on the tax roll, somebody to buy them, fix them up, and do what is necessary to put them back on the taxes.
But there's significant manpower that goes into inspecting these properties, though, isn't there?
Correct. We go out and inspect them between us and the codes department. We go out and inspect them to make sure. With the fire department, Saturdays, we have a whole list of vacant properties. We go out and inspect on Saturday mornings to make sure that they are still vacant and in need of repair, which most still are. The whole idea, again, when this was started, was to try and get these properties back on the tax rolls, and we felt that charging them a fee would help push them along to get them to where they should be. And in some cases it works, and in other cases it does not. If you have a landlord that lives in California and owns six properties here, they don't really care what they look like, I guess is the best way to put it. And apparently they got deep enough pockets where the $2,000 for each property doesn't bother them all that much either.
So. In addition to the manpower, we wanted to make sure that, especially as you see the fees increasing, that it's a disincentive to keep these properties vacant. So we want to make sure, of course, to recover our costs, but to move people along in making repairs that they need to make.
And again, Councilor, I'm going to reiterate that the bottom line here is to try and work with these people to get the properties rehabbed and back on the tax rolls. And we're willing to do that as long as they show us a plan and stay with the plan. There are lots of people that tell us right off the bat we got the permits and the work goes on for 3 or 4 or 5 months and then it just falls off again, and they'll come back to us the next year and say again, well, I got the permit. The permit's a year old or it has expired and there's no more work done this year than there was last year. So again, if they work with us and we work with them to get them back to where they need to go, it's not a problem.
Thank you.
I have a question. It's a little off topic, but I require clarification, and I'm sure it's helpful to the – if I'm not getting it, I don't think the general public is getting it. We've used some definitions and terminology here that I need clarification on. Cool. So technically, what is a condemned property, and what is the process in which it becomes condemned, and then what is its fate?
Do you want me or
either or?
There's two ways a property can end up getting condemned. If there are several code violations, life safety violations, it's a condemnation almost automatically. Usually, if we have a fire in a building like we had today, codes department comes in and the building will be condemned until they can get an electrician in there, get everything squared away that way. If a building is vacant for more than six months at a time, then it can also be condemned at that point in time. And that condemnation can be easily rectified by the owner of the property fixing any violations that are there and putting tenants back in there after a CFO inspection. Does that answer your question or not?
Not really, because I kind of, when I think of a condemned building, I think of its imminent destruction and that it's required. So if the city puts that moniker on it of condemned, my just, you know, layman's understanding is that it needs to be destroyed and that it will be destroyed.
Well, I think
or
that,
should
go,
be.
Go ahead, Jen.
There can be buildings that are condemned but still may be structurally sound. A building's condemned because somebody can't live there for some reason, whether it's an electrical issue, it doesn't have some sort of utility, it has whatever reason that the building code that we go by says a person cannot live there. That's why it's condemned. Still could be stable, structurally sound, but has some reason that somebody can't
live
there.
So what if it's a commercial building that was never designed for housing? This says vacant housing registry. Some of the buildings that we're talking about have nothing to do, never were housing.
I think, is this a vacant building registry?
It's more of a vacant building registry than vacant housing registry, correct.
Commercial properties on it as well.
So my other question is, condemned doesn't necessarily mean the markings of the first responders. There are also markings on buildings that are put there because of the first responders so that our first responders are not in danger in case they have to approach that building. And I think that that is different from a building being condemned. Is that correct? They could have the markings if they're condemned, but it just, because I think that the general public sees some of those markings and they misconstrue those markings with it being condemned.
So you're correct.
Absolutely, what you're saying is correct. There are different levels of condemnation, I guess is the best way to put it. If there is a building that has the red X's on it, that means we've looked inside that building and the building is falling down interiorly and or exteriorly. So if we were to have a fire in that building, we know that the floors are gone, the stairs are gone, there's something inside there. And some of the buildings have the X on them, the red X, which means stay out altogether. Some of them have only half that X, which means that the house may be under construction at that point in time, and only the wall coverings may be gone, which creates another hazard for us as the first responders. And I'll go back to your initial thought. If you have a hoarder's type house, where that house is actually, or that building is actually sound and stable, but the tenant or the person living in there is put in such conditions that there is trash everywhere, there is problems with getting through the in and out of the building due to the trash and everything that is there. And once that person is moved out, and I could give you a couple examples right off the top of my head of places like that, but once that building is cleared out, cleaned out, and the owner cleans it up, paints it, gets rid of all the trash that's in there, it's easily reoccupied. So there are different levels of condemnation depending on what they were condemned for.
So I think that this is probably bigger than a budget discussion. So after budget season, I'm going to ask you.
Absolutely.
We have a presentation on these different levels, not only for us, but for the general public, because when I'm out there, I have trouble explaining it, and I know that people are having trouble understanding it, and so off into some quiet summer month, I think that maybe building code and you know, first responder markings would be something that we need to educate ourselves about and the public about.
Right. So I mean, maybe a simple answer is those markings are for our firefighters and first responders. So it doesn't necessarily mean that a property is condemned. Right. More than likely it is.
Right.
But that marking means for our firefighters and police officers.
For their safety more than anything else. That's why those are there. And with this program, we could further that red marking, it's in action, and just to make things move along here, we don't on buildings, as we say, that can be easily reoccupied, just so that it doesn't put a sign up for anybody in the neighborhood that realizes that the building is vacant or empty by putting that red sign up there. We don't want to make it that building a target for somebody who has other than good thoughts about the building. So, yes, I'd be more than willing to sit down with you in codes department and go over the whole thing and explain it to you.
Thank you. I've got one quick follow-up because I can't wait until a quiet day this in the summer.
Go ahead.
If it is condemned, because I went door to door and I see the X, so I wouldn't go to the door.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't see an X and you go to the porch and you knock on the door and there's this little, like a letter, it usually says this house is condemned. Is that right? Like from someone?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and there are, again, different parts of that also. Us with the codes department or the city, we will put a condemned sign on, and it says by the city of Auburn, and it's a particular color, so everybody knows. But there are banks and holding companies that have some of these properties that are vacant for a period of time, and some of those letters just say that the banking or the holding company has looked at this building, they've winterized it, it is vacant at this point in time, they've winterized it, and if there is a problem, if somebody sees something broken into or whatever, this is the number to call for that. So it may not necessarily be us that does it, but if those buildings sit vacant for more than 6 months, then according to the city charter and codes, we can put a condemned sign on that building also.
Thank you.
There's different signs for politicians knocking on doors.
Correct. And one thing...
Different colors.
One thing that I really want to specify here is that six-month vacancy does not automatically put them on the vacant housing registry. And we don't put them on this, or the vacant building registry. We don't put them on it until the building has actually been condemned by codes.
Thank you.
Okay? Anything else?
I have more questions, but I'll save it for you. I'll save them for this
council meeting where we could go out on the road.
Absolutely. I think it would be eye-opening for most of you. I know that Chief Quill has seen it, but some of you might be amazed at what's out there, both good and bad.
I know.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Clear as mud, Chief.
Move on. Thank you. Changes and updates. We've promoted two people. Matthew Quill has been promoted to captain from lieutenant, and Lieutenant Mike Clarko from firefighter to lieutenant. That all happened this year. We have two new hyers, Robert Gage and Theodore Allnut. They will be graduating from the academy right around May 12th, 13th, somewhere in that neighborhood. We purchased a new chief's vehicle. We continue to update commercial buildings, as we talked about, building safety inspectors for our company officers so they know what they're looking for when they go into the buildings. The GIS and mapping, as Seth has talked about, we are very much involved in that, at least in the water end of it. Lieutenant Mark Pino has done a lot with that, both on the iPads and the GIS system itself, which has been a huge help to both municipal utilities and the fire department. We have a new CAD system in the county. I don't know if any of you are aware of that. Captain Scanlon has been my point man on that. Between that and our new fire reporting software, we are still going through some changes to make all of that happen and make that work. The good thing is that we've spent a little bit of money to get the software up and running, the tablets that we need in our vehicles to make that software work. So that's part of why my operating budget is down a little bit this year. We don't have the need for the new software, but we do have a maintenance portion of it. Specialty training and updates continue to happen citywide, countywide, so that we are a state resource if and when we are needed. The fire prevention programs, we are again going through some changes with those to get them out to all the schools and make it in a more concise fashion so that we're all putting out the same message to each school and each individual as we go out. And a vacant building program is a work in progress. And I have one more thing that I would like you to hear and or see. I don't know how many of you really pay attention, but this week is what they call National Telecommunications Week, which is our fire dispatchers and or police dispatchers. So I would just like to read into the record a little note that I have sent out to our dispatchers. I would like to thank you for you and your staff for all that they do. Without dispatchers, our job would be that much more difficult. Dispatchers are usually unsung heroes that get little credit for runs or incidents that go well, and they tend to take the brunt of our customers' and first responders' displeasure with the system. They stay online and talk people through what is or could be their worst moments in their life, and they try to comfort and guide them to a good outcome, which doesn't necessarily always happen. It can and does wear on them just as it does to any first responder out there. Our county 911 dispatchers are the first responders, and they do a fantastic job, and I would like to thank them for their service. Thank you. Questions? Thank you again.
Thanks, Chief. City Clerk?
I go down there.
I know how to do it.
Oh, thanks, Chief. I do not have the laptop at the clerk's seat hooked up to the new system yet, but will happen someday. I forgot.
Before Mr. Mason starts, any council want to take a break? Want to keep plugging along?
Good.
I'm good. We can keep going, unless you want one.
Well, City Clerk, why don't you continue? We'll take a break and we'll catch back up with you. Please go ahead.
Makes sense to me. So I think, what do we got? Clerk, Corporation Council, Mayor and Council. So we're almost there.
5 minutes.
Almost the finish.
5 minutes total.
So we'll start. Thank you very much. City Clerk's office is kind of a very customer-oriented office in that it handles all of the, a lot of the records and vital statistics for people that live here in the city of Auburn or were born in the city of Auburn or have people that, relatives that passed away in the city of Auburn. So we deal with a lot of Auburnians that are in town as well as Auburnians that are all over the place, all over the country, all over the world. A lot of people that are looking for their vital statistics, birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates. It's always a very important task, and sometimes there are situations that they're needing those records. And so we have two, in addition to the vital records, we do the dogs, we do the handicap accessible permits, we do the public communications and website and social media and stuff for the city. In addition to myself, there's the deputy clerk, Colleen LeMay, and then there's the clerk in the office, Melissa Simmons. They both take care of the day-in, day-out tasks of the clerk's office, do a great job. Rest assured, the clerk doesn't have much to do with the day-in, day-out operations. That's why it runs so well. And then we're assisted greatly also by Rhonda Miller, the secretary to the mayor and council. So if you take a look at the budgets that the clerk's office is involved with, there's the budget totals for the year. The only budget there that there's a change is in the clerk's office. We'll go over that in a minute. The allocation for Board of Elections, Dog Control, Historic and Cultural Sites, Arm Beautification Commission remain the same. And then we'll talk at the end about the new Equal Rights Heritage Center. So there's a look at the increase, 3.75% increase to the clerk's office, and I'll explain that here in a minute. And then there's this, it's kind of small writing for everybody to see, but the clerk's office budget kind of fits nicely on one page, and there's the page. So there's no change in the two full-time equivalents that are in the office. However, I am proposing one change in the classification of the clerk in the office. In the bureaucratic way that things are structured around here, clerk is kind of the entry level into the grade system or whatever they call it in these contracts and stuff. And I do not think that that position is correctly classified in today's world, especially maybe a few years ago when there was a lot more employees in the office. But two budgets ago, the council will remember we eliminated the part-time records management clerk and went with it for a year thinking that maybe we could put the records management clerk back in the following year, and now we're a couple of years out, and it's just kind of going to be a reality. I think that that part-time records management clerk is probably never going to fit back into the system. So I think it's appropriate for us to reclassify the clerk position in the office, which not me, the clerk, but the clerk that's in the office, to a senior clerk. So we took that in front of the latest Civil Service Commission meeting, and they approved it, so it'll take effect if the council adopts this budget. So that request is in there. So that's a part of the reason why there's an increase. The other part is the normal increases in the salary. And then the other part is that there is money in there for upgrade to the website, which I'm going to talk about in a minute here. The clerk's office brings in addition to the expenses, that we do bring in quite a bit of revenue that contributes to offset some of those expenses. Specific to the clerk's office, the revenues I listed on the screen there, it's a little small, but $78,900. And then we're involved with a lot of transactions with programs that are shared with other parts of the city, such as the Soul Cemetery, the fire inspection permits from the fire department, some of the permitting, such as the sidewalk cafe permits and some of the mobile vendor permits and stuff, which the police department and the codes office and stuff get into play there. But so the total revenue that comes through that clerk's office window on an annual basis, and this was from the 2016-2017 budget year, was $132,273. But some of the tasks that are specific to the clerk's office during that budget year, or what we've budgeted this year, is close to $79,000. So taking a look at the budget, to take a closer look at some of the budget lines that are in there, the breakdown of the software line, which is 409, wherever there's software throughout the city organization, there's a 409 budget. And most of the, it's about a 50-50 split. Some of the software is particular to the clerk's office, some is citywide. This is where the website falls, and this is where the Granicus program falls for the city. And so what's contained in that $18,000 for the virtual town hall line is to be able to do an upgrade to the website to make the website more responsive. So this wouldn't be like a complete overhaul of the site, but it would be basically taking our site as it exists now and pushing it over to a new program, which would work better with the cell phones and the tablets. That's what the word responsive means. Right now, if you pull up our city website on your cell phone, it doesn't necessarily work all that well with the phone. It works great on a desktop. So pushing to a more responsive platform, the estimate that we have from our website hosting company to do that right now is $12,000, and they would allow us to spread that expense over 3 years. So part of the increase there is to cover that expense. The other couple of programs in there, the image integrator and the business automated services, are software programs that are specific to the vital records and the dog programs and things, some of the things that we do to communicate to the state.
Are those upgrades or is that replacement software?
That's annual cost of those software programs, yeah. And then there's the services 440 line, and these 440 lines are throughout the city budget. A lot of the 440 line is with communication that the city does. A lot of the communication that we have to do, we take a lot of legal notices and stuff for things that we do in a couple of months. At the end of the year, Bob will put up the tax ads. Those come out of this budget. Those are a couple pages worth of legal. Everything gets kind of pricey. And then when there's things that happen, such as things that are normal that are going to happen, And we'll take out ads such as when there's going to be a special trash schedule or something. Sometimes we take out retail ads. The citizen newspaper is our paper of record, so that's where all those expenses go. And then we spend money on promotion for social media. We also use a local firm who's a great resource for us for different website updates and different website projects. We eliminated the bingo inspector a couple of budgets ago, and we integrated it in as a service, this 440 line. So we kind of contract out with our bingo inspector now, and it all comes out of here. Then we have an expense with the office copier, and then there's just a little bit there for miscellaneous things that come up from time to time, such as shipping and expenses and other things like that. And then there's a other utilities line, which is the cell phone reimbursement, and the clerk's office has an iPad just like the counselors have, so there's a charge against that other utilities line. That's what that line is all about. So I'll conclude with the Equal Rights Heritage Center across the street. The proposed budget that we worked with, actually before I get into that, I want to conclude one thing about the city clerk's budget. I forgot about this. I didn't put a page about a wish list or anything, but I did have a few things that were in my budget that all of a sudden when my budget got sent back to me by our city manager and our comptroller, everything was removed and nobody really said anything about it to me. I guess it was self-explanatory that nothing was going to happen. But I did put some money in there this year for intern because I think we could probably get some extra stuff done with an intern, but that was taken out. I did put some extra money in the 440 line to be able to do a couple of extra things public relations-wise, but that was scaled right back down. But they've done a great job. Our comptroller is up north somewhere, I guess, nowadays, and still did a really good job of making sure her pencil was sharpened and got my budget right back down to below where it was supposed to be. So just wanted to say that. And the manager. And then so now to the Equal Rights Heritage Center. And this is a project that we've been working on for the last several months to get ready for the fall when this facility opens. And we've been working closely locally with our Downtown Business Improvement District and our Cayuga County Office of Tourism, who we approached early on to become to see what their interest was in becoming tenants of the building and partnering with us as a city to move this project forward. We've been doing a lot of brainstorming, had a few meetings at the staff level to try to figure things out, came up with a concept budget of, as it appears on the page here, would have expenses of $147,365. Mainly staffing is going to be required, as well as the utilities of actually running the building. So the bulk of that being the fact that we're going to be required for the operations of this, we're looking at entering into a contract with our local bid, Auburn Business Improvement District, to figure out the staffing for that building. It's probably going to be a contract very similar to what we do with the bid for the maintenance program downtown. That contract is to be determined and to be written over the next about 60 days, probably to be brought before the council right about the time that this budget will be adopted, and that this budget either the same night or a week or two after that. So that's a look at it. We've done our best guess at trying to estimate what the utilities expenses will be, and then we received good news this week from Senator Helming. The mayor announced earlier in the week that the senator was able to secure $50,000 in state money for us to put towards this. So We will also collect some rents. First year projected revenue of $15,000 for rents would get the city's share of what's going to go on in a first year there down to about $82,000 from the 147. We will be working, continuing to work with the state on that project and continuing to work with our local partners on other potential revenues to try to offset the expenses of operations of that building, which would include grants that could be written, as well as once the building gets established and operating, there's other operational revenue that might come through with renting brochure space within the building to other organizations with some of the programming that could be done out of that building. But we're not going to budget any of those revenues during the first year. We're going to kind of try to get the thing up and running and sort some of that stuff out and hopefully have other revenue sources that can go into this for year two, which will be next, the following year's city budget. So that's a look at the Equal Rights Heritage Center budget and there. Is there any questions? If not, I'll turn it over to Stacy.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, guys.
Chuck, can you bring up the Corp Council presentation before you come back?
The what?
Bring up Corp Council presentation yep. before you come back.
Only because the chief did it for me, I guess so.
So I have a couple of questions. I'm sorry.
No, go
but
ahead.
It's both about this budget and the planning budget. So were all of the intern positions for this summer removed from our? Because sometimes
sure
that because both of yours had interns that were removed. I think that they offer a different value as well. I think that very often when you get, you know, second and third year college students, they bring a lot of energy, but they also bring a lot of new ideas with them from their education. So I think it offers that value. I would be interested in and it also helps us recruit people, because interns then know the culture of the organization, and they are able to network within an organization. So we lose out on that ability to recruit young people through that process. I would be interested in having some of those interns put back into the budget rather than to lose them, both for the city clerk and for the planning department. I didn't note that other departments had that happen, but if they did, I would be interested in that too on a case-by-case basis. But I think that both of these departments, city planning and the clerk's office, have lost people from past budgets, and so there's huge value that those small costs give us other than just the monetary output.
Thank you. I'll pass that on to the manager.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Let's see. I just want to make sure I can do this. Okay. So, budget for Corporation Council. What we do. So, myself, John Rossi, and Nathan Garland, as well as our paralegal, Rosemary Taylor, the four of us, we handle all the legal matters for the city. So we handle all transactional work, all legislative, all litigation. Pretty much the most common question I'm asked whenever I'm out with friends, family, or just interacting with the public is what we do. And I try to always just say that we do everything. So any legal question that you could think of will hit one of our desks, whether it's contract related or you know, housing court related or relating to labor and employment. If you can think of it and it's legally related, chances are we're dealing with it. We work in all of the courts, so everything from the lowest courts, the smallest courts, to the highest courts. So locally it would be city court, housing court, county court, supreme, appellate division, as well as the Court of Appeals. And we're also admitted into the federal district courts and bankruptcy courts. We try to stay out of court if we can. That's the goal. We serve all of the city, including city council and the mayor, the city manager, all of the city departments. I believe there's 13, 12. I don't know. There's a lot. and all of the boards as well. So anybody who has any sort of question can come to us. In terms of our numbers, they're going down this coming year, which is good. And I'll explain why on the next slide. Our operating budget has gone up a little bit, and I'll explain that as we go. Our employees are going to change us slightly as well. So two big changes. First is that John is going to actually become a consultant for the city as of July 1st. So he's still going to be working with us and for the city, but he is no longer going to be an employee. So he will be of council, and we still love working with him and look forward to working with him, but it will be on a consulting basis. And the other big change is, as Nate and I have been working and kind of tackling as much as we can, we've been trying to keep legal services in-house. There are certain special legal areas that we're aware that might be outside of the scope of what we can handle. There are special areas of the law. But we're capable of handling a wide range of things, including the tax assessment matters, which we have been actually paying outside counsel for. Nate is actually going to get up to speed on those, and that's going to save us quite a bit. So between John's change and Nate tackling on the assessment matters, we will still be working with attorney Rebecca Spino. She will still be working with Nate and consulting with him, but the goal is to really keep a lot of that in-house. So items not included in the budget, Nate's salary is still supplemented by the LISC grant. We receive $30,000 for 2 years. I think we're going into year two this coming year, correct, Jenny? Mm-hmm. And that has been, I know his work with the vacant building registry has been wonderful. He just really kind of got underway on all of that in August, I would say. But we've already seen banks paying checks to the city for fines and fees that they are legally responsible to pay for properties that they are not maintaining. So he has been incredibly aggressive on that front, which has been wonderful. I believe Laura set up a new account when she was here for those funds. I do not know how much is there, so I can look into that if council wants that number. I don't know what it is right now. But
I would like to see that number, and it will be especially helpful once the LISC grant runs out.
Absolutely.
So that we can justify an added cost next year.
Absolutely. It will probably be a little less just because he didn't really get started until August, so it won't be a full year's number of what will come out of that. But I've actually seen the checks myself, and Rosemary has, and we're like, what are these? So it's been good.
And what would be helpful is also the increase, right? That mm-hmm. past years when he wasn't here,
yep.
and wasn't doing this work, that we had either zero revenue or less revenue.
I think it was zero because it was zero. Well, the laws are brand new. The laws, he's kind of been treading brand new ground on tackling. And in some cases, the banks have even called our office looking for legal advice. Like, they don't even know what to do. Yeah. So, but I'll
add one thing too. We're on an email list with some other communities that have the LISC grant, mm-hmm. and the questions that are being asked, what Nate has done, we're really on the cutting edge of what we're doing legally. Nate has provided mm-hmm. assistance and advice to other corporation councils in other communities.
Yeah.
So we've really got a good one here.
Consulting yeah. fees.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
That was clear when we went to NICOM, what little I know about what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a general idea. It was clear that I think us and maybe Niagara Falls were really on the cutting edge of mm-hmm. really using this legislation for what it's intended for.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. And my understanding is Nate's actually going to be presenting pretty soon.
He is. He's going to be here on the 26th presenting on all of that. So perhaps having those numbers, that presentation would work. It's wonderful. It is cutting edge, and I'm hopeful that, aside from the revenue, that it'll actually be an incentive for these banks to either, sell the properties or fix them up and do what they're supposed to do so that they don't just sit. So the other piece in terms of, and I know I'm not supposed to go over revenues, but is on, I know council passed the amendment to the code to allow for appearance fees in city court, and we have been charging those as well. Some of them, in terms of numbers, we're kind of waiting because a lot of those go unpaid and will have to go on, be re-levied onto the taxes, but we can get an estimated number for you on those. And last but not least, Rosemary Taylor and I have been working very diligently on getting the tax foreclosures, tax delinquency under control. We kind of have been working with the treasurer's office on tackling that. So I think we started out with well over 100 tax delinquent properties that we were dealing with back in November, and by sending letters and working with communication with residents and owners of those properties, we've actually been getting payment on that front as well. So we are making progress, I guess, is the message. So that's all I got.
One quick thing. It's not reflected here, but I do know from seeing it that by doing things in-house save the city a lot of money.
My career prior to City Hall was in private practice, so I'm very familiar with how attorneys bill, and I would never, say anything bad about my colleagues in private practice. But I do know how billing works, so I'm very sensitive to it. So when I see bills come in, and I'm kind of aware where we can streamline and make our office more efficient so that we're saving the city money and the residents money that they don't need to be spending. So
you're saving it and you're putting
yeah.
it in. That's
great. Yeah. That's the goal. So.
Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
Counselors at your desk each have a printout of our proposed budget. Most department heads have started out as asking the question, what do we do? With 27,000 people in the city of Auburn, I'd really be afraid to ask that question because we probably could get a handful of things we could quote. Our budget is up $7,602. That is due to contractual agreements with our employees, in our office, insurances, basically everything under the collective bargaining agreement that's agreed to. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. But it's a very streamlined, simple budget. So,
basically, no changes besides
No changes other than what we as a council have agreed to and contractually with our employees' unions. No questions. Other business from the council? Request for executive session?
We don't have a request, Mayor.
You can come back again, please. Council, do you request executive session for any reason? Entertain a motion to adjourn? Councilor Cuddy, second by Councilor Carvajal. Please call the roll.
Yep, we got a motion to adjourn at 8:24 p.m. Councilor McCormick?
Aye.
Councilor Gentino?
Aye.
Councilor Cuddy?
Yes.
Councilor Carvajal?
Yes.
Mayor Quill?
Aye. We're adjourned.
Ooh.